thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Who doesn't like football? How come all the hands up are ladies? That's quite significant. Well, you'd be really glad to know that the World Cup finishes today. Yeah, at about, well, depending on extra time or whatever, 5:30. So, off the field, even before the competition began, it was marred in controversy, wasn't it? On the field, there was many an upset during the qualifiers and the eliminators. And as we've said, in a few hours' time, it's going to be decided between Argentina and France, between, is it Messi and Mbappe, is that right? Have I got these names right? Two of the greatest players in the world. Billions of pounds spent on stadiums and infrastructure, millions, multi-millions in fact, spent on individual players, countless millions on advertising. And some of the sponsors are household names to us, like Coca-Cola, Hyundai and Adidas. With Adidas being the global leader in football, their advertising, for me, stood out the most with their slogan, "Impossible is nothing." Hopefully this will work for me. Yeah, you can see that okay. So, of course, Adidas didn't come up with this slogan. It was none other than one of the greatest, if not the greatest, heavyweight boxers of all time, Muhammad Ali. He had many great sayings. And here's only a few of them. You probably know this one quite well, about floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee. I really love this one. Don't count the days, but make the days count. Wow. I think that would make a great gospel message. And then this one here, we're going to base our message on this morning. Impossible is not a fact. It's an opinion. Impossible is not a declaration, it's a dare. Impossible is potential. Impossible is temporary. Impossible is nothing. I'm going to take a second and repeat that because I think it's worthy of being repeated. Impossible is not a fact, it's an opinion. Impossible is not a declaration, it's a dare. Impossible is potential. Impossible is temporary. Impossible is nothing. The Impossible is Nothing campaign was first launched by Adidas in 2004, and it's understood to be the brand's biggest advertising campaign. And so I thought we really need to hear this message. We really need to hear it today. We really need to hear it on the build-up to Christmas. So I've chosen this as my sermon title this morning. Those of you who are on Facebook will have seen the titles, and there's a quirky one for this evening as well. But for this morning, impossible is nothing. You see, the virgin birth was impossible. Curing leprosy was impossible. Walking on water was impossible. Restoring the sight to people who were blind was impossible. And of course, the resurrection was impossible, but not for the Lord. Because impossible is nothing for the Lord. Or as the angel said in Luke's gospel, "For with God nothing is impossible." And will you turn with me, please, to Luke's gospel, chapter 1. We're going to read some beautiful verses that just tell us that impossible is nothing. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man, or I have not had relationship with a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We thank God for the reading of his word this morning. Now, I need three volunteers. The first one I need is a teacher. I need somebody who drives a car. In fact, I'll be a wee bit more specific. I need somebody who is good at parking a car, because not everyone who can drive a car is good at parking. Isn't that right, Danny? Please come up, Danny. My mother is 84, and if you were here at the induction service, you saw her. She's as bright as a button, and she can drive, but boy, she can't reverse. She would need about 10 spaces to reverse, and Mark will say nothing about that. Because Esther and I met the four elders and their wives. I think I said this to you about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now maybe, and it was fantastic. We met halfway, and it was an old, cold, blustery, wintry, wet old night up that, is it the A, whatever, 26, the Ramble Inn, and I wasn't sure how to get across, and I got into that car park, and it was pitch black, and I was just taking my time, and I stopped, and I let Esther out as a gentleman would. And then I got her parked, not Esther, the car. And Mark thought I took ages. See, he's a professional driver, isn't he? And he said he was going to widen the spaces in church. It hasn't happened yet. I need a third person. Now, I wouldn't really know the names of our young people, but I need a young person, please, to come up. Anyone at all. I'm not going to make fools of you, I promise you. Two of these envelopes are to do with my past. One of them is a success and the other's a failure. The other, third one that Karis has, we're going to look at in a wee moment. Danny, would you open up that envelope, please? Turn it round, let everyone see it. Does that look familiar to anyone? If it doesn't look familiar to anyone, it will look familiar to Danny. Because, Danny, you got a parking ticket one time, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. You were rushing about. It was the coffee shop. You were telling me the other morning. You were in the supermarket. You were out of the supermarket. You come back. The place was hiving. You got busy. Somebody says, "There's a man out there putting a ticket on a blue car." Danny says, "That's mine." Am I right? Okay, that's not Danny's, that's mine. That happened about a year ago in Ballymena. Do you know you can only park for half an hour in Ballymena? Ridiculous. Adele. So that is, what is it, Adele? Does anyone remember GCSEs? Okay, we're all of a certain age. Do you mind reading out what the grade is? It is mine, isn't it? There's been a few graduations this week, hasn't there? The Miller family and the Craig family. Anyone else? No? It's great to see students doing well in school. But truthfully, and I'm not jesting here, I was not the sharpest pencil in the cup when I was at school. My late brother, Michael, he could have just gone to bed without studying, get up the next morning, go into an exam and do so well. Does anyone know somebody like that? Whereas me, I would have slogged my guts out and gone into the exam and got a poor result, and that's absolutely true. But things changed 5 years later. See, at 16 years of age, and I want all the young people to put their fingers in their ears here, I was rebellious. And do you know what I did? I'm not sure if you're allowed to do this now. I walked out of quite a few exams. I'm not sure you'd actually be allowed to do that today, but I did that. I just was going through a wee bit of a rebellious period. And I fluffed my exams, most of them, apart from art. And I got an ungraded, I think they called it a U. Yeah? Anyone remember those? I got a U in English language when I was 16. But when I went to Bible college, I knew that I needed to know how to spell and construct sentences. I didn't know the difference in to, T-O, and T-double-O, and were, W-E-R-E, and W-H-E-R-E. I didn't know. I'll come back to that later. You see, as Christians, our identity isn't cemented in what we've done. It's cemented in who we are. You see, we can't be defined by our past failures. Now, Karis, could you open up that third envelope, please? And if you'll hold it up high, if you don't mind, the side that's got writing on it. Oh, there's no writing on it. Does anybody know what that means, if you were to hold that blank piece of paper up in a protest? Look, you're all very shy here. You're all very quiet. In China, recently, there were protests. And if I can borrow that, please. That's what a lot of the protesters held up. Because if they put writing on it, they would have been arrested. Thank you so much. Can we give them a round of applause? And before you go, there's a wee present for you. Ach, Danny, thanks so much. Thank you. You've got one of those. Have you framed it?
No. Made it.
Thank you so much. Right, I think that's me. I don't know if that's too small for you to read, but China's protests, the blank paper becomes the symbol of rare demonstrations. So often one item comes to symbolize an entire protest movement. In China, that item is a humble piece of blank paper. And as I said, they can't be arrested for holding up a piece of paper with nothing on it. Johnny, a 26-year-old demonstrator in Beijing, told the Reuters news agency that the paper had come to represent everything we want to say but cannot say. Christmas is a time that represents the very opposite to what this young Chinese man, Johnny, said. He said, "This paper has come to represent everything we want to say but cannot say." So how unbelievably sad is that? However, the Christmas story represents everything that God wants to say and has said. You see, the heart of the Father was revealed to the world when Jesus came wrapped as a baby. We were singing about it, weren't we? Born to a virgin, we read about it, for impossible is nothing with God. The virgin birth is impossible in human terms. But it was the fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecy. And if I can say this reverently, all the prophets and all the prophecies was God holding up a wonderful piece of paper, many pieces of paper in the Old Testament. This was God making a declaration, and it wasn't blank and it wasn't empty, but it was full of grace and it was full of truth and it was full to the brim of his rich promises that a Messiah would one day come and he would save his people from their sins. Now, I'm sure you'll agree with me that Christmas is a bit of a chaotic time. I'm sure many of us would testify to the fact that that is true. But it's also a charming time of year, isn't it, with nativity scenes. I know there's been many in schools and what have you. And there's novel Secret Santas. We do a Secret Santa with the family. There's that many of us now. And we wait to that period after Christmas where we're all together. Of course, Christmas is about turkey and tinsel and mince pies. I think there's some tonight, perhaps, if I'm not wrong. And then there's carol singers. We're going to have our carol service tonight and Christmas gift bringers. But if we don't put Christ at the beginning of Christmas, if we don't keep Christ in Christmas, then the page is blank. The message is empty. And we've lost the plot. And the impossible won't be possible. Christmas is heaven shouting from the rooftops, impossible is nothing. Whether it's a young Bible college student who went from having the worst possible grade to getting an A in O-level. Now, I was so disappointed when I read this during the week. Because do you know what O stands for? Ordinary. I thought I was doing so well. Oh, I got an A, and I looked. Paul Albert Prentice of Elam Bible College, Cape, obtained the grades indicated in the following subjects. Ordinary level. English language, grade A. Anyhow, I'll accept it. Why? Because somebody cared. Somebody took time. My English teacher in Bible college was a lady called Mrs. Ward, and she was absolutely beautiful. And she took time with me. And maybe my attitude, in fairness, was a bit different, but I loved her. Teachers, love your children so that they love you and they will excel. Because impossible is nothing. Whether it's a downhill skier who refused to let an injury stop her competing at the highest level, I hope I've got this name right. A girl called Sofia Gugia from Italy broke her hand in two places while racing 2 days ago. She was flown to a hospital in Milan for surgery where she got a plate and 9 screws inserted into her hand. She came back the next day to win the World Cup in the ladies downhill skiing at St. Moritz with her ski pole taped to her glove. Why? Because impossible is nothing. Whether it's a hopeless drug addict who had hit the self-destruct button. 2 weeks ago, Esther and I had the privilege of going down to Dublin to Kip's church. Kip is Kerry Louise, by the way. You'll learn these wee things. Kip is our youngest daughter. She's helping with a church plant in Dublin, and she goes to a church called St. Mark's. It's an old Church of Ireland building in Pear Street, but it's a Pentecostal church. And Esther and I got talking to a man there who had been an out-and-out drug addict. At 15 years of age, he was actually extremely talented at football, and I think even Tottenham had come over and we're watching him play. But at 15, he started to experiment with drugs. At 15, he was injecting heroin. At 16, he was dealing. And he ended up shortly after in Mount Joy Prison. And after a short while, he was released. But he was always stealing to fund his habit. He would steal anything from anybody, man, woman, or child. It wouldn't matter. He would even have robbed his granny for a fiver. It didn't matter to him. And one day, This is his testimony. One day, and I can send it to you, there's a 3-minute video clip on Facebook if anyone wants to hear a short story. I'll send it to you. One day, he broke into a house in Dublin city centre to steal stuff to feed his addiction. And while he was there, he began injecting. And he collapsed on the floor. And the owner of the house came in, an old lady. And what did she do? She didn't phone the police. She phoned the church. She said, "Son, you've got to get yourself to church." And they got him to St. Mark's. And St. Mark's got him over to Scotland. And he went to a teen challenge retreat. And he got dried out. Now, it was hard. It was hard. But 20 years later, John Gorman is praising the Lord. And he hasn't put a needle in his arm in 20 years. Why? Because impossible is nothing with God. Somebody cared and somebody loved him and somebody took time. You see, for John, his page is no longer blank. His page is full of hope. His page has some great words written on it. Positive words, eternal words, words of hope and forgiveness and freedom and grace are written all over his life. And what does he do now? He helps those who are in need. This is a little message that he put up on Facebook. My wife got a phone call today asking if she knew anywhere for 70 hot meals. The school would have thrown them out today, but they've been sent down to the lighthouse. The lighthouse is where the addicts go. The lighthouse is where the homeless go. The lighthouse is where those in that area know to go for help. That's where 70 people are enjoying a hot meal. And what a day this was when things were -5 or -6. And John is just finishing off his message by saying, if you have coats or warm clothes or food that you're throwing out, please contact one of us. Why? Because a lovely old lady didn't phone the police. She phoned the church. What is it that we need God to do for us this morning? Yes, we mightn't be drug addicts. We mightn't have needs like other people. But what do we need God to do for us this morning? What do we need God to write on our blank pieces of paper? You see, he's really, really good at rewriting stories. God is really good at wiping the slate clean, just like this parking ticket. Do you know what God does when we've got bits of paper that have got bad stuff written all over them? Words like failure, words like useless, hopeless, and we talked about that last Sunday, didn't we, about the man in the pit? Words like low self-esteem and words like loser. Do you know what God does with them? He takes that bit of paper and he rips it up. That's what God does with our mistakes. I'm sorry, whoever's on church cleaning today. And God says, we're going to rewrite the story together. We're going to write our future together. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. May this be the best Christmas ever, because we're putting Christ at the beginning of Christmas and we're keeping Christ in Christmas. May this be the best Christmas ever, because nothing is impossible with God. May this be the best Christmas ever, because we learn to surrender afresh our lives to Him and to His work. Now, as I bring this to land, can I have three more volunteers, please? And I'm not going to pick who it is, but just three, anyone at all, three volunteers, and it'll finish my little visual aid here this morning. Who's the first one? Oh, come on, come on. Oh, there's two. I need one more. Right, you're getting the smallest, Mark, okay? Danny's got a green apple. You can have a red one. I need one more person, please. Somebody really, really strong. Who's really strong? Somebody really, really, really strong. David, are you going to come up? I think Pamela is encouraging David to come up. Good man, David. Let's give him a round of applause. Good man, David. Now, this is heavy, David, but I think you can manage this. Can you hold that with both hands? Now, it's cold, isn't it? Good man. Now, will you bear with me, please, just for a moment? So we have a watermelon, we have an apple, and we have an orange. Three of your five a day. They're all fruit, but they're all different. They look different, don't they? Where's that orange? He's putting it in his pocket. Did you see that? Hard to get good staff, isn't it? They look different. I'm not going to ask you to do this. They taste different. Two are hard on the outside. Well, pretty hard. And that's softish. Two of them have pips on the inside and one doesn't. But they're all fruit. See, we're all fruit, but we're all different. That's a picture of us. We all look different. We're all different shapes and sizes. Some of us are soft on the inside. Some of us are a wee bit harder on the inside. We come from different backgrounds, different places, just like these three different pieces of fruit, I imagine, started their journey in three completely different places. Sometimes you bite into a bit of fruit and it can be bitter. Sometimes it's very sweet. Maybe we're not everyone's liking. Maybe we're not to everyone's taste. But we're all the same family. God loves us all the same, whether we're a watermelon, an apple, or an orange. And we can all live together in harmony as the same church family. Thank you so much. You're very welcome to keep those. That's your presents for coming up, by the way. All right. You're welcome, David. Thank you so much. Now, don't eat that all at once, Mark, sure you won't. Yeah, we're all one family, aren't we? Did I go too quick there? Is there... Oh, I don't have, sorry. It's another image that I put on myself, Dave, sorry. Jesus tells us this great truth in John 13. He says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. See, as a church, we will see the invisible. As a church, we will hear the inaudible. And as a church, and of course, when I say church, you know what I mean. I don't mean this structure. I don't mean this beautiful sanctuary. I don't mean the stained glass or the pulpit. You know what I mean. You and me. As a church, we will do the impossible when we love one another. For nothing is impossible with God. Can we pray, please? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for John Gorman's story. Lord, I thank you for that old lady who played her part in John Gorman's story. Lord, I thank you that she made the right choice by phoning the right people so that John could make the right choices. And Lord, I pray this morning that every one of us would make the right choice. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, not to be defined by our past failures. But Lord, that we would look to you, the one who has wiped our slate clean. Lord, that we would look to you, the one who loves us and cares for us and takes time with us, just like that school teacher did for me. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to hold up a blank piece of paper with nothing on it. But Lord, we thank you that the pages of our lives can be full of hope and peace and love and joy and goodness and grace and forgiveness. Lord, I pray as we approach the Christmas period, Lord, I pray that you would do a work in every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be soft like the softest fruit. And Lord, I pray that if there's any hardness in my heart or anyone's heart this morning, Lord, I pray that you would melt our hearts. Lord, we want to tell you this morning that we love you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to love one another. Help us, Lord, to be a great witness as a church and as an individual. Lord, help us to give you your rightful place in our lives. In Jesus' name.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.